many used to have a leftover day, either when you were growing up or when you were raising your own family? I know we did at my house, leftover day. Well, this is leftover Sunday, because we're kind of pulling it together from here, there, and everywhere. Just like the lesson, the recipe has come from three different, I'll call them inspirations. The main inspiration came from the latest issue of Unity Magazine. Does anybody else subscribe to this? This is a great publication. It comes out every other month, every 2 months, so it's not like you're bombarded with information. The article, and this is your warning, is called God and Guts. The rest of the inspiration came from Eric Butterworth. He was a Unity minister back in the day. He actually led a huge Unity church in New York City. Have you ever watched the old Turner Classic movies back in the day where they actually had people that operated the elevators? And when you got on the elevator, they'd ask, "Going up?" And you'd give them your floor number, and up you'd go. This morning, I want you to imagine that you live in an apartment building in Manhattan, the heart of Manhattan. You live on the first floor. Maybe if you're lucky, it's a two-bedroom apartment. More than likely, it's probably just an efficiency. You can't leave that floor, and you can't leave the building. Imagine that. Your world is small and tight and really secure, and you're earthbound. You are anchored in your four walls. Got that vision? Got that image? Okay. The person who lives in the penthouse has a totally different experience. They would look out their big picture window and they would say, "Wow, what a gorgeous world. I can see green fields and mountains and water and blue sky. How blessed are we?" You would never know living on that first floor with all the street noise and grit that you share the exact same address as that person living in the penthouse. Let's say that each of the floors in that building represents a level of consciousness. Just as in a high-end condo building in New York, it costs more to live on the higher floors, but the cost isn't in dollars. In this analogy, the cost of going up a floor is in the willingness to see the world more accurately, more authentically. Living on a higher floor in this example is more expensive emotionally and psychologically. The first floor for everyone is our survival mode. It's the world of our intuition, our gut feelings. This is the base level of our nature. The first thing we like to do here is organize power, and we do it through ritual. As a group, we organize what we believe about how God will respond to us. This is what religions do. We say, God needs this ritual, and if we do this or that, then God will respond in this way. This is what we hear so much about in the Bible. A good example is the New Testament with the temple priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees with their 600 laws and numerous rituals that people had to live by. They lived on the first floor, on the survival floor. The nature of God is consistency. This is why we call him the absolute. And so we try to organize that into some system. How many of you have rituals that you have to do because that's just the way it is? It's second nature, it's a habit. How many of you have superstitions or wear talismans or good luck charms or have beliefs based on what they say runs in their family? This is what we're talking about here. But eventually, we sense that there has to be something else, something more, don't we? We're drawn to start looking up the staircase, up to the next floor, and this isn't ritual. It's how you manage the nature of your own power. You begin to wonder, why did certain things happen to me? Well, they happened because they did. They just simply did. So now what? Do you think someone's going to come along to undo it or repair it? It's sometimes very hard to accept, but there's really no one who can make whatever happened not happen. There's no one that can give you a do-over. It's not like when you were a child and your mom could have put a Band-Aid on your boo-boo and make it feel better. And when you realize this, that's where you begin your spiritual life. Starting a dialogue between you, your soul, and God. The second floor is the beginning of your spiritual path. There you start asking yourself, why don't I want to let this go? Why do I hold on to all of this stuff? In my life experience, I feel there's an assumption that we always want to heal, that we always want to be whole and healthy and honest. But in reality, this may not be true. People may not realize it, but what they really want is to hold on to what they have, to what they know. They don't want to heal. To truly heal requires an extreme dedication to what we call in unity our inner work. When my husband John made his transition almost 4 years ago, I questioned why he wasn't healed. And I sat listening for the answer in prayer, meditation, and the silence. And you know what I finally realized that brought me great peace is this, that in making his transition, John had chosen his ultimate healing in mind, body, and soul. He let go of what he had for something better. The true spiritual path is taking on everything about you that you know deep down is not true. we may seek outer methods to aid us in our climb up the spiritual staircase, methods like medicine, meditation, massage, and yoga, and many other things. But finding truth is the spiritual path. Every time we enter our church building, we can be assured that knowing the truth is what truly sets us free. It says so right on the wall outside the front doors, doesn't it? Take this to heart and believe it. The Unity minister, Eric Butterworth, said many years ago, "There are great moments in the history of the world when a prophet or a savior appears with a great cosmic insight, and he's able to impart it to people with a persuasive power and beauty. And there are great moments in the lives of individuals, just like you and me, where we have a great cosmic insight, where we come face to face with an illumination, and it becomes clear and convincing to us. Such an insight and truth might not only be uttered, but to have authority, it must be believed by the person who utters it. It must be lived. It must become a transforming power in the daily lives of the people who work with it. Just such a figure who did this is the man we call Jesus. The transcendent message he brought to the world is what I call the new insight in truth. Now, I've always felt that too much attention is given to Jesus' divinity and not enough to his humanity. And I know this may be somewhat shocking to some to think of it in this way, but I'm not questioning his divinity, because I believe that he discovered the divine depth within himself, but he discovered it also as a depth within all persons, including you and me. We are living in extraordinary times. Some say we are at the greatest turning point thus far in the history of civilization, in between understanding ourselves as a small creature of the earth, like a groundhog, who's limited to five senses, and discovering our true cosmic size nature. We're just beginning to understand that the soul, not as a religious subject, but as a cosmic force, commands and shapes matter. This is the power that is emerging now all over the world. This is the power we've seen emerging over the last century and a half. With this power, we have to carve out the world of our future. It's natural to want to turn back because, oh my gosh, it feels so safe, doesn't it? But you're not allowed to look backward for guidance. You've been there, and it's over. If it was still supposed to serve you, you would still be there. Stay in the present time, what we call the eternal now. That marriage you left, that job where you got laid off, don't exist anymore. You need to find a new creativity, a solar occupation, because the fossil fuel ones are going away. The chaos we each may be experiencing psychically, spiritually, emotionally, and physically is all part of this huge evolution. It's a new kind of spirituality emerging, and it has the power to dismantle all of the global religions as we've known them. Each of you is a huge resource of human creativity. I experience this all the time as your music director and licensed teacher. You're here not to take, but to give and to discover your endless, powerful capacity to heal and to have compassion. We have no idea what we can do for others. How often do you hesitate to love somebody? How often do you punish people by withholding love? Stop that. Everything you do matters. You have to get up every day and say, Lord, this day of my life will never come again. I stand here as your servant, and I am listening. This is how you work your way up the floors of consciousness and get to the gorgeous penthouse view. We are love in expression and creativity in expression. We are making a way for new things, new thoughts, new ways of being. There's a holy hush around us when we express from the depth of our souls. Feel the power of your divine depth and live from it. Know that surely the presence of the Lord is in this place every time you do.